Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The day is all about the 45th and 47th president of the United States of America, Donald Trump. Chad Hartman, Dave Harrigan, Newstalk 830 WCCO. We obviously will spend a great deal of time talking about the inauguration. We will not spend the entire show on it, but the entire first hour will be on it. Notable part of the last hour will be on it, but we will also do other parts of our show. If you listened to Donald Trump's second inauguration speech, I want you to tell me right now through a phone call or text your number one takeaway from a speech. That is history. 60th inauguration in our country's history, which is over, and there is a great deal of symbolism, Dave Harrigan, which is taking place right now. The 46th president and the former first lady, Joe and Jill Biden, are about to take the helicopter and leave. Right now, they are shaking hands with the former vice president, Kamala Harris, the former first man, Doug Emhoff. They are next to Donald John Trump. And is that the hamburger? No, that's Melania Trump with the helicopter right there. And we've watched footage of this dozens and dozens of times, right? Whether it's you remember watching it live or you've watched the footage of it. And it's history unfolding where Biden's going to leave the U.S. Capitol for Joint Base Andrews. Joe Biden has been a creature of D.C., since the early 70s, senator, decade after decade after decade, ran for president 1988, 2000, 2008, wanted to run 2016, ran in 20, ran in 24, and he's leaving Washington, D.C. right now as they walk towards Marine One, the former president, the former first lady with Donald Trump and Melania engaging in seemingly good-natured conversation. What strikes you as you see this as we're about to get the farewell wave from Joe Biden to D.C.?
It's America at its best right now.
Yeah.
It is the thing we hope for every 4 years or 8 years in case of a re-election, but it's... Yeah, so far, so good.
Yep.
Through the hundreds of years now, we have another peaceful transfer of power. As you said, it's cordial. It seems friendly. God knows it's probably not when you really dig into things. But for all intents and purposes, for the image that this projects to the rest of the world, this is a great thing.
We obviously did not have it in 2021, this walk. The walk has ended. Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Looked like Donald Trump spoke to Joe Biden for about 5-10 seconds. And hugs were exchanged between Melania Trump and Jill Biden. Joe Biden and Jill Biden are on the helicopter right now. There was not a final wave from Joe Biden. He just jumped on the helicopter. And right now, Donald Trump and Melania Trump are standing next to the vice president and his wife, the Vances. And they will stay and they will watch the helicopter take off. And Joe Biden is a part of the story today. There, obviously, Donald Trump was an extraordinarily large part of the story 4 years ago today, Dave Farragut, because he would not acknowledge the reality that he had lost. And this final affirmation of his victory is something I've said in thousands of others. It's not unique to me. It is the greatest political comeback of all time. He pulled off maybe the greatest upset of all time in defeating Hillary Rodham Clinton. And then to come back and do this is rather stunning. Why is Joe Biden a part of the story today, Dave? All the pardons. General Mark Milley, Tony Fauci, but then family members, and it's announced while he's at the inauguration of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So for the folks who have felt like these are the strong vocal opponents of Joe Biden, that when Tony Fauci says it's all science, I did nothing wrong, why do you need a pardon? And for individuals who have claimed there is a Biden crime family, you know what they see today? They see affirmation. They don't have enough proof. James Comer didn't have enough proof because he tried for years in Congress. But today, family members of Joe Biden received a preemptive pardon going back 10 years. And the audio is everywhere. We could play it. In fact, maybe we should get it for former Congressman Dean Phillips, who's going to join us in 20 minutes, where Joe Biden is participating in, I believe, his first interview after becoming the president-elect, when there are all sorts of rumors about preemptive pardons that Donald Trump was considering, and he would offer some of those. And Joe Biden was, we won't do that. We won't do that. He did. He did, including family members. We obviously had it about a month ago or 6 weeks ago with Hunter Biden. So Joe Biden is a part of the story for one more day, Dave. And then that's it. in a prominent way. Joe Biden has said, when he was asked in one of the very few press conferences he gave at the end, because let's be honest, they were worried how he would hold up. And they've been worried how he was holding up probably since the day he took the oath, in reality, that he'll be heard from. Do you really think we're going to hear a lot of Joe Biden over the next couple of years?
No.
I don't either.
No.
I don't either. On the speech itself by Donald Trump, predictable, typical. Did you think there was anything different? And again, if you believe in Donald Trump, which, you know, he garnered 76 million votes. I think it's kind of silly when people keep saying, well, half the country voted for him. We have 350 million people. You know, Joe Biden didn't garner over half the votes either, going back to 2020, when he garnered 81 million, right? But of those who voted, Donald Trump had a decisive victory, period and simple. It's not the popular vote, although he won that by, what, about a million? Is that where we're at now? But it was all about the swing states, and he won those swing states 7-0. It was, you know, He was playing the hits. He was playing and saying a lot of the things that, to be honest, Dave, that he said since he came down the elevator.
Yeah, and it was much of what we expected, you know, as far as the executive orders. We heard that all in the news the last couple of weeks, what was going to happen day one. And he went through the laundry list of immigration and border and blah, blah, blah.
The golden age of America begins right now. I'm just going to highlight some of the key phrases I thought. America's decline is over. We now have a government that can't manage a single crisis at home. His opponents tried to take my freedom and my life. He believes his life was saved by God to make America great again. And again, we talked about government efficiency, this new external revenue service, plenty on immigration, national emergency of the southern border, remain in Mexico policy. He added, we are on the verge of the four greatest years in our country's history. So I want your major takeaway from today. For me, predictable, typical speech. Biden, his polling numbers will drop even further by the pardoning of his family members. Is there any doubt?
I don't think it can go up from that.
No. It's going to go down. There will be even more Democrats and independents who will say, wait, if they're not guilty, why are you doing this? I did not vote for Donald Trump in 16. Didn't give it one second's thought. Didn't vote for him in 20. Didn't vote for him in 24. Didn't give it a second's thought at any point. However, I hope he's the greatest president in our country's history. I hope he proves me 100% wrong. I hope our country prospers. I hope we have unqualified success all across the country. Across wealth, gender, age, race, everything. I hope that, of course, he is going to stay true to his principles. But I hope he turns the clock back to the guy he was most of his life, a deal maker and a centrist. That's who he was in New York. He was obviously fiscally the right of center. But he was left to center on social issues. Show us, Mr. President, and you're my president. I have zero interest with anybody who says whether it's Joe Biden, Barack Obama, George Washington, now Donald Trump. He's not my president. Yeah, he is. There's only one president, and we only have one right now, and that's Donald John Trump. I hope he has success. What is your dominant takeaway from what happened with the speech and the way Joe Biden is leaving Washington, D.C.? I'm not the type of individual who gets as excited by symbolism and pageantry as others, but I think today is a stunning day. And it always is. To see our leaders come together and a peaceful transfer of power, which Donald Trump would not let happen, try to prevent it in every possible way in 2021, but he benefits from it today. I think it is a sign of our strength, and I hope we will still come together. But the number one person who can be a part of it, and it's way more than him, but the person who can drive that is the 47th president of the United States, Donald Trump. What do you want to say? 651-461-9226. Love your phone calls. Love your texts. Agree, disagree. Reach out right now at WCCO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Former Congressman Dean Phillips in 10. What do we have for a music theme today, Dave Harrigan?
You heard it there from the Kings of Leon. It's the comeback story of a lifetime, Chad. The comeback has been completed officially. It's official. So we're talking comebacks all morning long, or all afternoon long, I should say.
I like Kings of Leon, too.
Who doesn't? They're tremendous.
Let's read a bevy of texts. My number one takeaway, the pendulum has been far to the left. Now we'll instantly swing to the right. Well, certainly they have the power to do it. They have their own version of the trifecta.
Yeah, and if you heard the speech, it's already swung.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's why listen, he wins. Elections have consequences. So
really?
I just created the phrase.
Never heard that.
But I would like to see some attempts to reach out to the center. I'm not asking him to reach out to AOC. Or Ilhan Omar, where they're also Donald Trump and Ilhan are going to agree on, 70% of the things. But for the 30, 40, 50% of the country that's somewhere in the middle, and that's where Donald Trump was for most of his life until he saw an opportunity, and it's worked out magnificently. It has. He's been elected twice. He says three times. Reach out to where you used to be. More text. There was way too much God and anti-LGBTQ. This is scary. I feel like we're about to live the Handmaid's Tale out. Did you see The military video they played at Trump's weekend rally felt like some amateur stitched it together. It was weird as hell, mixing Full Metal Jacket with Pride. I did not see that. Saw the YMCA.
Who didn't?
And Donald up there doing the dance. It's another one of those moments where you're like, if somebody would have told you that in 2013, that after Biden and making, or excuse me, Obama was making fun of him, that he not only was going to win, but win twice. And while he's telling us there are only two genders, male and female,
that's it.
He's dancing to YMCA by some viewed as the gay anthem.
Why doesn't he put the arms up for the YMCA too? He just does the Trump dance, but, you know, get the letters going.
Well, JD did that at another event, but I think Donald feels like he's got his dance and it's working.
Maybe that's it. Keep it tight.
Stunning, reading your text, stunning is how I would put it, to the Biden pardons to Trump's ridiculous speech. Texter, I hope you attain the right to speak your mind freely in WCC over the next 4 years. We're going to need you. I know this comes up sometimes with both sides, especially after George Soros bought Odyssey. Since I started at WDGY in 1990, which turned into KFAN in 92, no one has said, you're not allowed to say this, or you have to say this. That was a great freedom set up by Mick Anselmo, continued by Greg Swedberg and Dan Seaman and Chad Abbott and here. Now, here, and this will shock some of our diehard conservatives, have we had some conservative program directors? For sure. Bob Schomper and Andy Bloom were definitely righties. And were there conversations about, in particular, Bloom, about how do you think you should approach this? But in the end, they 100% left it to me. You get to disagree with me or agree or sometimes agree, sometimes disagree. But the idea that these are marching orders somehow, that never happens. It just doesn't happen around the country. People vote against him, her, them, there, on and on. Trump was clear about two genders, male and female. There is a lot of wokeness, Dave, in this country. There's mm-hmm. no doubt. There's also a lot of anti-hatred towards LGBTQ, right? There's a lot of that. So you can do both where the left is so obsessed, the further left is so obsessed with checking boxes, but then some of the further right is so obsessed with hating, as opposed to maybe I personally don't identify, but if these adults, not kids, but if these adults feel this way, I'm going to respect their wishes. We can criticize either side and somewhere come to the middle. It really isn't that tough, is it?
It shouldn't be.
It should not be. I can't help to think that his youngest son will be the youngest president in U.S. history. This is Texter. He does look a lot like Dad, doesn't he? I hope it's only 4 more years. Have my doubts. Well, I'm on record. I think he's going to run again. Dave laughs at me. Chad, you aren't curious how Joe Biden and his family received millions of dollars around the country and hid in 20 different shell companies. That reporting has been driven by individuals who, when they needed to prove it, could not do it. Am I suspicious of Joe Biden and his lack of ability to do his job the last 4 years? Hell yes. Were some of those reports money raising eyebrows? Yes. But there was too much that James Comer had the whole world available to him in the Congress trying to prove it, and he couldn't do it. So, but for those who believe like this Texter does, and I may not agree, when he pardons key family members today, you know what they say? I told you so. And I can't fault him. Dean Phillips next. Dean Phillips is here, as he has been many times. We haven't quite figured out what his role is going to be, But we're going to work in Dean Phillips frequently over the next few years on this show. Obviously, he's made a lot of news on this show when he was in Congress. His comments on Joe Biden running for president, stepping away. He is still going to be a visible person. He is a good human being. He is a perspective that I believe is needed. And so I don't know how often you're going to hear a lot of Dean Phillips on this show, and I look forward to that. Thanks for coming on, my friend. I appreciate it. Give me your major takeaway from the 47th president of the United States and the speech you delivered to the nation in the last hour.
Well, Chad, first of all, good to be with you, and I'm glad you didn't out the fact that I'm in California right now, where there's only a 70-degree difference between home and
yep.
I hope you won't shame me, and to all the Minnesotans listening, I got to tell you, after the fires out here, it's a reminder of how lucky we are actually to be in Minnesota, even when it is 9 below. So,
well, can I go there? Because I wasn't sure if you wanted to bring it up. Can I first of all say something that I haven't even mentioned to Dave Aragon yet? Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, Chad. I just heard you sing a moment ago with that funny little jingle. I thought you guys at least might have a little chorus.
Wait, would you like Dave Aragon to sing you happy birthday right here on WCCO Radio?
I think that might be among my worst nightmares.
Yeah. Wow. Oh.
I have the power to cut him off
right now. Congress ain't behind you now, sir.
Yes.
Well,
okay.
Hey, that's why we all have faces made for radio.
Yes, yes. You have a place in California. You weren't in the eye of the storm, but you were very close to it. Mm-hmm. What has this been like?
Yeah, so, well, I came out, Chad, as I told you last week, to reflect and do some writing and contemplation about my next chapter. And at 56 years old as of today, had never had warmth in the winter, so taking a little bit of time out here. And
why not?
A couple of days after I arrived, I had, just as I had unpacked a little bit, had to repack and evacuate to my brother's home. No power for 3.5 days, and I was among the lucky ones. In the West Hollywood area, the Palisades, literally, to anybody who's seen the images, it's as bad as it looks. I've never seen destruction, incineration like that in our country in any context, and it is horrifying. And, of course, in the Pasadena area, just to the east, yeah. The same thing. 10,000 homes burned, families displaced, and it's really a horrifying reality and a reminder of what we as a country and a world and government has to be prepared for, because these disasters are going to be happening with more frequency and more destruction. And we have an obligation to be better prepared. And we weren't. And I will tell you, as someone new to this area, at least for a brief time, I did not know where to look for information. I relied on my iPhone to tell me it was time to evacuate. Mm-hmm. And we got a lot of work to do.
And by the way, that wasn't accurate all the time.
No, and in fact, the day after the evacuation, I came back to my place, and another evacuation notice came on my phone 20 minutes later, rescinded. So you can imagine how complicated that is. And, you know, and a reminder, when you have 15 minutes to put a go bag together and take your most valuable possessions, that's something most of us in Minnesota never have to think about, thank goodness.
Yeah. Okay. So I wish you only the best, and we're all thinking, and if people can help, whatever it might be, whether it's money, whether it's volunteering, just a prayer, a word of thought, whatever it might be, please help the folks out in L.A. And just so much respect for the first responders and the fire department.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. The president right now is speaking in Emancipation Hall, and I can't hear it, but he's yucking it up. What did you think about his formal speech about an hour ago?
So, Chad, I'll confess, I've never lied as a politician. I'm not going to lie now. I did not watch it. So you can tell me, but I can tell you, based on my perception of those around him who I know and the cues I've been seeing, that I think we're going to see some good from this administration. I think he will address some of the issues that have been existing for some time going unaddressed. And I just hope and pray that the United States Congress, particularly my Republican colleagues, you know, put the Constitution first, put our country first, and do their jobs. That's what we're elected to do. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. That's how the system is designed, to manage a president's worst proclivities and to enhance the best. And I think it's a responsibility of all of us to give President Trump a chance and lead this country through some difficult times. And that's I think that's the obligation of we Americans. But, of course, like most, I have some concerns.
He was Donald Trump. You know, Dean, he did not break any news. We've known about the executive orders for a while. Mm-hmm. He played the hits. Among the phrases that will garner the most attention, the golden age of America begins right now. Mm-hmm. We now have a government that can't manage a single crisis at home. Mm-hmm. America's decline is over. We're on the verge of the four greatest years in our country's history. So he mm-hmm. believes that, and clearly a lot of his supporters do. So I'm going to pick up on what you just said. What is the likelihood that more moderate Republicans who wanted Donald Trump more than they wanted Joe Biden? They may have wanted Nikki Haley more than they wanted Donald Trump, but in the end, they supported Donald Trump. What is the likelihood that that small group, because it's getting smaller, as you know, will stand up to Donald Trump at times, not all the time, but at times when they feel like that the president has moved further than he should have?
Well, my answer is going to be quite ironic, Chad, because I think we're going to see more objection from the far-right Freedom Caucus members of the Republican Conference in Congress than we will from that very small band of moderate Republicans who have now come to realize, as so many before them in the last two Congresses did, that the future, at least in the Republican Party, is MAGA. And if you wrong him and if you criticize overtly, you will be subject to the same evisceration that, frankly, I was when I ran for president against Joe Biden, because the parties do not cut people slack. And there we have one of the big problems the country faces, the perverse incentives that challenge any member of Congress's willingness to put principle above self-preservation. But I think we will see the Freedom Caucus object to spending and a number of other issues that I think may come to a head with Donald Trump. So you're going to see a small band on the right, I think, affect more resistance than we might see from that very small band of moderates.
This is former 3rd District Congressman Dean Phillips. Dean has been on this show a lot while he was a congressman, and whether he's a regular or a semi-regular, he's going to be on this show a lot going forward, because I really appreciate his wisdom and his willing to tell the truth. Among the cabinet members and potential cabinet members, and I think it's possible at this point he might get every single one. I don't know.
Yeah.
But do you have one? Do you have two? Both ways. That gives you hope, and others that you think, no, they just aren't qualified for this position.
Well, I'll tell you, Chad, what I discovered in my years in Washington is that competency is not the first priority of too many in leadership positions, both at the administrative level and within Congress. Tenure, political support, increasingly donors, have a lot of that influence. I think Senator Rubio, I think, will be a good Secretary of State. He's well-versed in those areas. I think he has the experience necessary. There are some. I think Tulsi Gabbard is a real risk in her role. Bobby Kennedy, of course. There's some elements about what he speaks relative to our systems and pharma companies and food that I think every American should pay attention to. Yet he has other perspectives on vaccines and public health that I think can be very detrimental. All that said, Chad, and this is the hardest thing to say, but our tradition is that the Senate gives counsel and guidance per se, but doesn't necessarily have that ability, or should it, to tell a president who can and who cannot be in his or her cabinet. So once again, I think it's Donald Trump's job now, as he's sworn in as our 47th president, to select those people, to hold them accountable, give them a chance. My biggest concern on every name, whether you like them or don't, is whether these people have the courage to resist him when they know better. And that's what I'm sensing is the biggest challenge in national politics in the United States right now is cowardice amongst people who know better and are simply not willing to forego their professional jobs in favor of the country. That will be the test. And I think we will see people like Pete Hegseth, not qualified based on most perspectives on the right and left, but again, likely to be confirmed along with a number of others who are non-traditional picks. And I can only hope and pray that they manage with integrity and that we don't see an exodus of thoughtful, experienced public servants that we do need in our institutions, because if we do, they will be replaced with less competent people, and that is a risk country.
Let's talk about the actions of the former president today while he still was president. Early, he made news with preemptive pardons for, among others, Anthony Fauci and Mark Milley. But then, while he was at the swearing-in and the speech of Donald Trump, it was announced he had preemptively pardoned for 10 years back two brothers, a sister, and two of his relatives have spouses. So he's preemptively pardoned five family members. As someone who was not afraid to speak out and criticize the former president, I will say to me, this is another area where I significantly disagree with the former president, even making the decision then to do it in a sneaky, borderline secretive way as he's leaving. I think he made a major mistake and it's going to add to another stain on his legacy. What are your thoughts?
Chad, I have to agree. And it saddens me to say, but I never imagined in our lifetime that we would see pardons politicized in the way that they have now in just the past couple years. Now, do I understand why Joe Biden ultimately, as a father, pardoned his son Hunter? Yes, as a father, but not as an American. Do I disagree with pardoning relatives? Absolutely. Do I also disagree with a man like Donald Trump who threatens to use our legal, our judicial system to punish his political enemies? Absolutely. So these are both wrongs, and two things can be true at once. But we are in for some really dark times if we now see threats of legal action against political opponents and then pardons used to mitigate that as a tit for tat in the future. It is grotesque. It is anti-American and deeply disappointing because it just further erodes Americans' trust in American politicians, in our system, the same way the nonsense we're seeing right now in Minnesota, in St. Paul, at our legislature, will further reduce Minnesotans' faith in Minnesota legislative politics. And that's my mission, to try to restore that. And the sad truth is we're not seeing enough people run for office with that same mission. And until we do, it's going to be a slippery slope.
Just button this up and I'll let you go. Do you believe the House Democrats should be working here in St. Paul?
You know, I do. And again, do I understand the dynamics that lead to these decisions to, you know, to not come to the session? I do. But you know what? Any common sense Minnesotan, I think, will agree with this. Why wouldn't they do a power sharing agreement? You know, the Republicans, mm-hmm. you know, have a right to install a speaker considering their temporary majority. But they know that it's almost certain that a Democrat will soon be elected and it will be even. Why not do a power sharing arrangement? You know, Republicans get the speakership for the first year of the term or the session and Democrats for the second. You know, until we see basic common sense, thoughtful negotiation and consensus, we're going to see this nonsense. And I don't care about your politics. I do care about your principle. And I don't see why we don't have more of that kind of cooperation, especially in a state that has been the leader in it, and that is Minnesota. So, yes, I'm disappointed.
Thank you, sir. Enjoy your birthday. We'll talk soon.
Anytime, Chad. Best wishes.
56 today. Former Congressman Dean Phillips here on CCO. Our guy, Chip Scoggins, in studio. Might be a little condensed because he has an interview, but Chipper in studio a little earlier, overrated at 2:05. And again, from D.C. correspondent Adam Carter, this is Trump at the reception in Emancipation Hall. Among the topics, rigged election, J6 hostages, border wall, cost of border materials. All day he's playing the hits. And you know why, Dave? Because he won.
It sells. It's the Trump top 40, baby.
He won. So he doesn't think he has to change it up. Chipper, I'm going to go rescue him from outside right now.